I want to just for a brief moment this evening consider one verse of scripture in this Psalm 103. It's a psalm of praise. Right the way through, it is a psalm of praise. And I wanted to end the year, the final Sunday evening of the year, with a note of praise, with a note of thanksgiving, and a positive note. And here we have it in this psalm. There is no words of prayer whatsoever in this psalm. Somebody has described it as a request-free zone. But I want to consider just the first verse of this psalm, where we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." David is communing with his own heart. And he's saying to his soul, communing with his own soul, and saying, all my inward parts, the heart, the feeling, the understanding, praise the Lord, or bless the Lord, as we have it here. Bless the Lord. Now, how can we bless God? You see, we cannot add to his happiness or increase his greatness or enlarge his goodness. For when we go over into Psalm 16 and verse 2, the psalmist reminds us that my goodness extends not to you, but to the saints that are in the earth. In other words, what the psalmist is saying, we cannot add to the goodness of God. God is all good. Therefore, we are daily and continually the recipients of God's grace and of God's goodness. And so how do we bless God? Well, I have three brief points this evening. And they're just by way of meditation and just by way of, I trust, to dovetail in with the rest of the evening and to be an encouragement to our hearts to give God thanks for his help and blessing and grace over this past year. I want to first of all suggest that we bless God by thinking well of him. When the psalmist is speaking about our inward parts, he's speaking about our inward thoughts. And I'm so glad that Clifford chose that hymn of Thomas Kelly. Thomas Kelly was the son of an Irish judge. And we're going to sing another of his hymns around the communion table this evening. But that spoke of how the Lord has loved us. And it's a profitable exercise to take time to, in quietness, meditate upon the attributes of God. Because when the psalmist says, bless his holy name, the word name is referring to the character or to the attributes of God. And I'm just lifting one attribute out this evening under this point. To thank God for his redeeming love, to thank him for his everlasting love, to thank him for his covenant love, to thank him for his electing love, to thank him for his forgiving love. When we think of his forgiving love, we can think of that verse there, verse 12 in Psalm 103, where the psalmist reminds us, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You'll notice that the scripture doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. Now we know why, don't we? Because we can measure the distance between the north and the south. But the distance between the east and the west can never, ever be measured. And so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I wonder how much time do we take just to sit in silence and to meditate upon the love of God? I challenge my own heart. I know in my quiet time, I sometimes pray aloud. I read the scriptures aloud and wait for it. I take out the hymn book and I sing. Now, I can't sing, but I can sing when I'm on my own. And when I start singing, there's certain doors in our house start to close, and I know what they're saying. But that's all right. I don't mind. I get out the hymn book. I sometimes get out the psalmody and sing the metrical versions of the psalms. It was A.W. Tozer who said that the next best book to the Bible is a good hymn book. Now, that's debatable. Those who live in England say that the next best book to the Bible is John Bunyan's works of Pilgrim's Progress. Those living in Scotland say it's Samuel Rutherford's Letters. You folks in Wales can tell me what the next best book to the Bible is afterwards. But it's very precious to sing. But how much more precious, and it's a discipline, just to sit and meditate upon the attributes of God, to think of His everlasting love, to think of His covenant love, to think of His redeeming love. But secondly, not only do we bless God when we think well of Him, but we bless God when we speak well of Him. You see, we're to let others know that we have a good God who is gracious to us. We know those words so well in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so whether our day is dark or bright, whether it's raining or sunshine, whether we're going through a time of trial, or as Geraint was referring to this morning, a time when we're knowing happiness, whatever the day is, God's goodness and His mercy still pursues us. You see, no matter how difficult or trying our year has been, no matter how challenging we have found the year, we can testify to the faithfulness of our God. You know, I was thinking about this earlier on today as I was meditating about on what I was going to share this evening. We can only prove the faithfulness of God in the midst of a trial. You see, we can go to the textbooks, for example, and we can study about the attributes of God, and we can look at the faithfulness of God, and yes, we can say that's true intellectually. But experimentally, we can only testify to the faithfulness of God and to the keeping power of God when we're going through the midst of a trial. I love those verses, that verse 4 in Psalm 103, where the psalmist speaks there. He says, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? And just as a crown surrounds the head, so we are surrounded with His steadfast love and mercy. When I was preparing yesterday morning and thinking about this point of how we bless God by speaking well of Him, I thought of how when we speak well of God, we can speak well of how He is dealing in the lives of others. For example, back there at the beginning of December, we had J.P. Ernest from the Open Air Mission. One of the things that I picked up that evening from him was this, that he said, it's interesting that it's the younger people who stop and listen and ask questions. Just a few days later, I was in conversation with one of our mission directors, and I was telling him what J.P. Ernest was saying, and he says, you know, Paul, last Sunday, he says, I was preaching in a gospel meeting in Leyburn in the Yorkshire Dales. And the local vicar and the local curate came into the meeting. And he was telling they are director, that they have young people going to their church who want more than just Christianity Explored. And that's not to undermine Christianity Explored. The following week, Elizabeth was in conversation with her father, who was telling her that over there in Northern Ireland, the Church of Ireland vicar in a place or the area of Muckamore, County Antrim, was telling them that their church had to build a bigger car park because there were so many young people going to the church. And only last Wednesday past, we received a Christmas card from a young couple that we are friendly with in Ballymena. And their oldest boy is first year in the Ballymena Academy. And they were telling us, wait for it, that there's 150 pupils going to the Scripture Union. Now, Dan Owen, how would you like that in high school? 150. That means there's more going to the Christian Union than there is here on a Sunday morning. Think of it, we need a bigger room. And we can speak well of the Lord in that way. We can speak well of the Lord in what He has done in the past in the lives of others. We can receive blessing when we read of and speak of revivals. One of the most precious times I think I have known, and it's not the only time that's been precious, but one of the most precious times I've known here in Newtown Evangelical was the time when Geraint and I were going through the dealing with four characters from the 18th century. Geraint was dealing with Daniel Rowlands and Howell Harris, and I was privileged to deal with George Whitfield and John Wesley. Now, George Whitfield was the best English-speaking preacher in the 18th century, but he wasn't the best preacher. It had to be left to the Welshman, Daniel Rowlands. So said Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. So you can make up your mind what you think of that one. But I remember studying for that lecture of George Whitfield and being absolutely thrilled. Remember, I came to the Tuesday morning of the Tuesday evening that we were taking the lecture, and Tim said to me in the study through there, he says, Paul, I'm looking forward to this tonight. And I says, well, you want to know something, I'm looking forward to it as well. Not because I was hearing my own voice, but because I was so thrilled of what God was doing in the 18th century. And at 4 o'clock that afternoon, Elizabeth says to me, she says, I don't think I'll go tonight. I says, well, why not? She says, I know it all. I says, how? She says, you've got that excited when you've downloaded anything from the internet or you've read from Dallimore's book. I says, well, I'll stay at home and you go and do the lecture. There's a Presbyterian minister in the north of Ireland, and he told me, he says, the only disappointment, he says, when I got to the end of the second volume of Dallimore's book was that there wasn't a third volume in that book. But you see, we can be absolutely thrilled about what God is doing in the lives of others, past and present. And we can speak to these things. Thirdly, not only do we think well of God and speak well of God, but we act well for God. This is what Charles Haddon Spurgeon had to say. It says, bless His name by acts and deeds of holy service. Sometimes indulge yourself with the delight of breaking an alabaster flask, very precious, and pouring its fragrance on your Lord Jesus Christ. Fetch out something rare and costly from your store and give it to His cause and bless His name. Every now and then, think to yourself, I must do something fresh for Jesus. Let your heart say, Oh, what shall I do, my Savior, to pray? You see, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But then we can't be idle. Because the Lord loves us. Because He's been so good to us. Because we can testify to His faithfulness. We can be engaged in acts of service. We're compelled by His love. We're constrained by His love. And it's because we love Him that we want to serve Him. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to each of our hearts for His glory's sake. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You tonight that You have exhorted us to bless Your name. And we acknowledge, Lord, there are times when we need to speak into our souls and we need to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And so, Lord, we pray that You will help us to know what it is to wait upon You in silence, to meditate upon Your love. Lord, help us to speak of Your faithfulness, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Help us, Father, to speak of Your goodness in the lives of others. And Father, help us then to stretch out that loving hand with a heart that loves the lost and loves the Savior. We ask it in our Savior's name and for His sake.